is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The moon race in the 21st century. Dr. Space himself is here. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. And we turn immediately to the moon race needing boosters. The spectacular test of Starship and Super Heavy. Everybody's attention to the potential of being able to lift 100 tons of cargo into low Earth orbit and onto the moon. Mr. Musk says he wants to die on Mars. First step is the moon. However, there is competition in the moon race. No longer Roscosmos. Instead, it's the Chinese space program. And we welcome Rick Fisher, our guide on the Chinese space program. He's a senior fellow at the International Assessment and Strategy Center. Rick, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. We go immediately to the plans of the Chinese space program to build a bigger booster. Heretofore, they had a plan called Long March 9. It's been adjusted, probably since the test of Super Heavy and Starship really adjusted. What does it look like now, and what is the expectation of the timeline? Good evening to you, Rick.
Good evening, John. Good evening, David. Yes, John, about, I'd say, 3 years ago, Chinese officials began revealing that the Long March 9, their Super Heavy launch vehicle, which we've known about for about a decade, was transitioning from a single-use space launch vehicle, SLV, to a reusable SLV. And the reusable SLV design has gone through a few iterations. And most recently, at a conference just this week in Hefei, China, called their International Deep Space Exploration Conference, hosted by, amongst others, the China Lunar Exploration Program of the Chinese government, two interesting briefing slides were revealed that not only is the reusable Long March 9 going to have a reusable first stage, but that by 2040, thereabouts, it will have a reusable second stage that looks almost exactly like Elon Musk's Starship. It has a cannered stabilizer in the nose, a brief cruciform stabilizers in the rear. And this indicates to me, at least, or at least implies, that by the 2040s, China will have a reusable manned and cargo spacecraft that will sort of adopt the same kind of lower speed, more vertical recovery trajectory into Earth atmosphere with a vertical landing, and also have the capability to conduct vertical landings on the moon, on Mars, and to return, or at least to return to orbit of these bodies so that it can be refueled to return to Earth.
Detail, Rick. Has China ever successfully tested a reusable first stage booster similar to Falcon 9?
Not yet, John, but they're working on it. And there are also private companies, in addition to the main state China Aerospace Science and Technology Corporation, that are also working on recoverable, reusable first stage boosters.
So they're jumping into reusable with their big stuff. They're not going to walk it up. They're going to jump right into it and start development now.
Yes, they're going to emerge in the next several years. Well, by early in the next decade, they'll start rolling out pieces of their Starship, so to speak. But well before then, they'll be rolling out pieces of their Falcon family, so to speak.
David, Rick has very cleverly called this Starship Super Heavy with Chinese characteristics. Your question for Rick, David.
Well, one question would be, why is it taking China so long to do this? That's 20 plus years. are they developing their own technology or getting it elsewhere?
Well, David, I think the essence of your question is that until very recently, China Aerospace Science Technology Corporation, or CASC, had a design philosophy much like NASA. You perfect the rocket as much as possible before you launch it. And of course, for China, money is no object. The Chinese Communist Party can devote all the resources required, but the company has an obligation to perform. And if it fails, it loses face. There's shame to the nation. So in order to replicate the feat of SpaceX, CASC is going to have to adopt the SpaceX ethos. Toleration of failure as a learning experience, very rapid iteration, quick turnaround to test the next version of whatever it is you're developing. That is something that CASC will be very challenged to undertake. And that would, to me, be the primary reason for explaining the delay. However, they gain a lot of credit for making the pivot, for adopting much of what Elon Musk has pioneered in terms of creating a super heavy reusable SLV, adopting the Methalox, lighter Methalox fuel, developing far more powerful engines that they will combine in very large clusters. For example, SpaceX uses 33 Methalox engines. The Long March 9 reusable will use 30 Methalox engines. And as we've seen in the first test last week by SpaceX, and of course going back to the Soviet N1 program, getting all those engines to perform properly and in unison is a very difficult task. And so the Chinese are going to have to overcome that as well.
A CASC is the China Aerospace Science and Technology Corporation, nominally their big space operation. The puzzle about Long March 9, what can it do to low Earth orbit? What can it do to lunar orbit? How does it compare to SpaceX's to low Earth orbit on its super heavy Starship and to SpaceX's super heavy Starship to lunar orbit?
Yeah, the Long March 9 with a single use second stage will be able to loft about up to 140, 150 tons to low Earth orbit, and then 50 plus tons to lunar orbit. That basically matches the performance of the current Starship. However, Long March 9 with the reusable second stage, as revealed by the Chinese this week, will have a slightly lower payload to LEO, 80 tons to LEO. I mean, if they can refuel in low Earth orbit, those 80 tons could possibly also continue on to the moon. Otherwise, they're looking at probably 50 tons to the moon, if they're just going to go straight there. But the Chinese, like SpaceX, John, the Chinese are also envisioning their two-stage reusable as a terrestrial cargo projector. Let's just send 80 tons to the other side of the Earth in an hour. That's what SpaceX was promising a few years ago, something that at least registered considerable interest in the Pentagon. The Chinese Communist Party, however, is going to be pursuing vastly different power projection goals, and we have to keep an eye on all that.
David, you have a question.
Obviously, for Long March 9, they would have to have separate and enhanced launch facilities. So has there been any indication of work or preparations for a launch pad and infrastructure for Long March 9?
Good question, David. Yeah, is there going to be a chopsticks with Chinese characteristics?
Well, we should pay close attention to what's happening at the Wenchang Satellite Launch Center on Hainan Island. Hainan Island, of course, is the closest place in China to the equator, so that confers a real advantage in itself. And Wenchang is very much a growth center. A new commercial launch center is being built, and I would expect that by the 2033 projected launch beginnings for Long March 9, that there would be a separate launch facility for that SLV there as well. There are already, I understand, two launch platforms for Long March 5. If Long March 9 is going to be reusable, I would expect three, maybe four launch pads would be built for to support that SLV.
The chopstick is the way that SpaceX talks about its launch tower that has the ability to capture a returning booster and get it ready for the next launch. We're going to turn to the Chinese program for the moon next. This is Hotel Mars with David Livingston, Dr. Space himself, and Rick Fisher, the International Assessment and Strategy Center, informing us on the Chinese plans to follow along in train with SpaceX's pioneering into low Earth orbit and lunar orbit. But what about the moon? What's the colony on the moon look like if they can get 50 tons to lunar orbit? This is Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Batchelor.